Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Thanks, Father, for coming back and joining us here and as the star of your own show.
Thank you, Tom. I enjoy these things. Just right now, I was in a meeting and I said, I gotta go. I got a radio show to do.
Radio time.
And they're like, oh, okay, we'll see you later. Yay.
Yay.
It's business,
Can't use
money,
that show every day.
facilities, the things
Can't.
they never taught us in the seminary. Now we
All
get to
the
talk
great
about
things.
salvation
All the great things about being a priest.
and an
Folks,
administrator.
today we are going to talk about a very unique topic, I think. The four sins that cry out to heaven for vengeance or justice, as it's written in a couple of different places. But these are going to be some big ones that our current secular worldview has is kind of trying to write into the background of our history and our culture, but they need some special attention to all of them.
Yes.
Father, why don't for just for the purposes of setting a foundation here, what are the four sins that cry out to heaven?
Right, well, first one, murder. Murder based on God said to Cain after he murdered his brother Abel. And Cain and Abel is so deep because it's an older brother murdering his younger brother. And that is so all over scripture, the jealousy between, like, even Moses and Aaron. I always think of it like Godfather. Remember Fredo? He was the older brother, and Michael was the younger brother, and he killed him. So this is based on this is ba we all know that I shall not kill. It says here, the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries to me from the ground." That this is fratricide. It's fratricide, killing one's family member. And remember that, I think it's good to remember that a better translation of thou shalt not kill is thou shalt not murder. And so we have to splice that out because murder and killing are not the same. We kill things all the time. There's such a thing as a just war. There's such a thing as defending yourself. If someone breaks into your house, you don't aim for their hand or their knee, you shoot center mass and you keep shooting until you stop them. So even in my own parish, the police came to do a safety check and they asked me, what is your plan in case you have an open shooter? And I said, I expect my congregation to shoot back, and not just aim for his hand or his knee or foot. You keep shooting until he is down.
Till the threat is
But to
neutralized.
murder is to take innocent life. To take innocent life. And that is not our job. That is not our right. That is for God. He's the creator of life and he can take it. But murdering an innocent person is us playing God. Deciding that somebody's life will end makes us God. So that is the one that cries to God for justice. And remember, all these, if they meet all the criteria, you risk the fires of hell, which means the perpetrator is made worse than the victim, which is hard for us to take in.
Well, I think this is this first one also really kind of gives the whole name to this categorization. If we go back and look at, what Genesis 4:10 says, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And it just, I mean, that's God telling us right there that willful murder ain't a good thing.
Justice is a cosmic reality. There has been an injustice here. Jesus did things visibly. He committed miracles visibly so people can see them, so they can believe in the things he did that were invisible. Forgive. Regenerate, inspire. He did things. God made things that were invisible visible, but there was crimes that have invisible, that cries to God for justice, and that has to be satisfied. And that's the only way to satisfy the grave injustice of these sins is Jesus dying on the cross, which we participate in at our baptism. But I think, like you were saying, most people say, duh. But here we are in 2025. A man is murdered in front of 6,000 people, in front of his family, in cold blood. And not only is the murderer cowardly, 200 yards away, shooting him in the neck, but there's people who will celebrate that. What are y'all doing? And they're complaining that they get fired. You or I, when George Floyd was killed, if we would have went online and said, thank God he's dead, we would have been taken down. Rightly so. Hey,
Cancel culture.
did you know that Charlie Kirk and George Floyd have the same birthday?
I did not know that. Are you
Yeah.
serious?
Because yeah, that came up when someone was trying to make that his birthday the day George, I think Charlie George, Charlie Kirk Day, and someone says that's the same day that not exactly they were George
Not the
Floyd
same
was
year.
no. George Floyd is 20 years older. He was born in 73. But Charlie Kirk was born in the same day, October 14th, 1993. Young man, 31. And that does cry to God for justice. And for people who celebrate them, there is justice. You can't just do that. It's not free speech. That's cruel, being cruel.
This is
Here we are again.
definitely a pathway to the pit of hell.
Yeah. And we had those shootings at a school. We had that woman on video be that poor
Oh
refugee
yeah.
from Ukraine,
In the suburbs.
murdered in cold blood by a coward. And so, again, we all are hurt when the body of Christ is hurt, or we're all hurt. From murder is taking innocent life.
All three of those examples are perfect examples of something we've said on here before, is that there's no such thing as private sin. It impacts the whole community, good, bad, and otherwise.
Yeah, and for ripples for generations. I mean, everybody's rightly saying, his widow, my goodness. But his small children were there. You don't, they'll be in counseling. Can you imagine when they're in their 20s and, saying, well, that was my dad. I watched him get killed. I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine. What kind of penance do you give for someone like that? And when people celebrate that, in some ways, they join themselves to the sin. Shame on you too. Shame on you too.
I made this comment to somebody the other day. It's like, really get a great insight into the beauty of our faith when, Charlie Kirk's widow stands there and says, "I forgive the man that shot my husband."
Tom, the devil always overplays his hand. What they created was probably 1,000 Charlie Kirks. And so he doesn't, I don't know if you know this, when John Wilkes Booth, is that who killed Lincoln? John Wilkes Booth? Yeah. When he killed Lincoln, he was sure that he would be celebrated. Celebrated. And he found out, even people in the South were like, you can't do that. You can't do that. And he found himself on the run, a fugitive. He thought he'd be a hero if he went back to the South. What a terrible place. And so,
And he was turned in by people in the South.
yeah.
He was
And
turned in by
so,
Southern
Abraham
people.
Lincoln is now known as he's martyred for the faith. He was a Christian man, and he, from the back, now he's seen as the great liberator. And John Wilkes Booth will die, died a murderer. Who got hurt? Who stand before God and say, hey, did you do this? What made you give you the right? What do you say to God? What gave you the right to end this person's life? And how do you say? Well, he took our slaves away. What do you think God's going to say to that? And with Charlie Kirk, well, he was a hate monger. I see that even. Okay, what did he say that was
He's
hateful? What
mean,
did he?
yeah. But I think it's just, it's tragic, the celebration of the murder, and arguably, the sin of willful murder probably stems from our next one, which is, the sin of Sodom.
Yeah, so this is again speaks to us now, cries to us, and let's just, where does the word sodomize come from? Sodom, what were they doing there? What was going on there? Genesis 18, then the Lord said the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they've done is as bad as the outcry has reached me, and if not, I will know. And obviously it was. And remember too that Abraham, I mean, I'm sorry, Elijah, was it Abraham? I think it was Abraham walking next to him, God, and saying, hey, if you find 50 people, yes, 40, 30, 20.
Ten,
I mean,
yeah.
and it, well, it, what's cool about that, I think I've just got an insight from this from a theologian that's very Catholic, because when we talk about indulgences and purgatory, that those 10, if there would have been 10 people, their goodness would have been good enough to outweigh the terrible crime. That they would have been, their faith, when Jesus saw, when they lowered down the paralytic, he saw their faith and he saw their faith, so I'll go ahead and heal you. That the community had a place. You can find just 10, will you spare them? Because of the goodness of the 10, I will spare them. We couldn't even find 10. Couldn't even find 10. And now what we knew for, and up until 1970, everybody knew was a disordered actions. Now, some will say maybe this is talking about rape. Well, that's not okay either. But the marital act is so sacred when you, when it is mocked, when it is mocked. I was talking about this in canon law. There's actually certain sins, and we have been given, and we have been given, what you call it, the faculties to, for, if someone comes and they won't forgive the sin of abortion. For a long time, only a bishop could do that, and in canon law, that's still the case, unless the bishop gives his faculties. But there's some sins that's still like desecrating the Eucharist, desecrate, or if a priest forgives someone the sixth commandment and a sin that he's committed with them, that excommunication, that's a violation. There's a punishment for that. Well, this one cries out to, because the marital act, God lets a man and a woman part cooperate, co-create with God. It is an image of Christ's love for his church when he says, this is my body. But when two people are sodomizing each other, they're mocking the marital act. Someone has to put aside their masculinity and become the female, and another man makes another man into a female. That's an abomination. That's the sin of Sodom. Now, I don't know if you're gonna get any callers in, but it's about time we start talking like that. Because what happens is, if you go to any, I'll tell you, this happened in my theology class, that they'll say things like, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was the sin of his inhospitality. You've ever heard that? Yeah. So yeah. And even Jude 1 says Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. That's Jude 1. He doesn't mention anything about inhospitality. And where did that come from? What happened? Yeah, the normalization, calling good evil and evil good. And if we can, I mean, if we can show people that, someone who is gay, say, no. These are, I've told people who say that I'm gay, no, you're not. You're a man. You're a man. And so feed that side of them. You're made for a woman. Celebrate your manhood and don't let anybody ever treat you like a woman. And there's always to do that. But the marital act is sacred. When it becomes unsacred, anything goes. Now we're at the point of not only regularizing sodomy, but even, even giving our young boys, especially, puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and having drag queen story hour.
Oh
What an
gosh,
abomination. It's a celebration of disorder. It's a celebration of, and it mocks women. You know, all that stuff mocks women. And so even though women tend to be more sympathetic, and because they oftentimes are very empathetic, but this is their chance to say to men, no, you're a man. You're made for a woman. And that's something we celebrate. And we don't celebrate perversion of this, a mockery of it, a twisting of it, because that mocks God. Mocks God because God gave us a great gift of the marital act, and we throw it back in his face. So I can do this and that. Oh my gosh. So yeah.
But it just sinks us further and further, and we see this in our society now that it started out as two guys and two girls, or and now it's we've I mean you have these weird relationships with everything. There's we've lost any hold on any kind of moral compass.
Yeah.
And now
In
you
many ways, we
complete
could only blame our
bestiality.
society once, you know, in the Anglican Church in 1920 said that, I think it was 1920, said that, you know, contraception was not okay. Then 1930 said it was. Maybe it was 1910, 1920. Anyway, when the Marital Act was rendered, lifeless,
Something for fun.
yeah. Then the dominoes started to drop. Dominoes started, and then people in these kind of relationships even pointed to heterosexual couples who are contracepting and say, "Hey, well, look at their marriage is incapable. They're rendering it incapable of life." Well, then what's the difference between them and us? It's a good question. It's a good point. Once we render that act lifeless and incapable, what's the word I'm looking for, Tom? Rendering it sterile, rendering it
Usable.
sterile, and sterile, then sterile sex becomes something we normalize and celebrate as safe sex. Yeah.
And how much of this do we as Catholics bear responsibility for?
We all are guilty. We all are guilty because it started with tolerance, then. You know, just tolerating them, and then they want to get married, leave us alone. Now we're told we have to celebrate it, and now they're changing their pronouns. Now, having said that, Tom, I think there's a different vibe in our country now, and it's like I said, I was telling you before the show started, I was reading an article that the LGB community is distancing themselves from the T, and rightly so, and because there's many people in the And those communities say, hey, we didn't sign up for that. We didn't sign up for children being castrated and having mastectomies to 12-year-old girls. That's not what we signed up for. And now, for the first time in years, support for same-sex marriage has actually dropping. It took going to that very end, those advocates and the alphabet, you know, mafia there. All of a sudden, you know, when do we go too far? We have gone too far. When it starts coming back, I think we have to be there with, you know, be there to catch, welcome, heal, accompany, and not give license to.
And I think if we can open our hearts and our arms and provide love as opposed to ridicule, not necessarily acceptance for the actions, accepting the people, not the actions, not the sins, that we'll make sure that the pendulum doesn't ideally
And we've
swing
done this for
back.
other things. You know, there are
Alcohol.
bars all over the place, and you know, alcohol is not evil in itself, but it's the abuse of it. But drinkers have their own community. And when someone misuses and abuses alcohol, hopefully we'll have extending hand to healing accompaniment, and they might even say I was born this way, and maybe they have. If, you know, a child in the womb, mom is drinking. I know that there's crack babies that come out of the womb addicted to drugs. They might even say I was born this way. You're not meant to be, and we're here to help. We're here to help, and we have professionals to help you heal and to make you healthy and so you can thrive. We used to do that with people who had same-sex attraction. The psychological community used to say, hey, this is an aberrant psychological condition. This is a mental illness. We're here to help. We want to counsel you, heal those wounds, embrace who you really are, who you were born, and that you can thrive and be a wounded healer instead of being a church of accommodation. Well, welcoming everybody means welcoming everybody's disordered inclinations. We welcome alcoholics. We welcome people who have same-sex attraction. We welcome people who are addicted to porn and narcotics, people who are addicted to gaming. But we don't give them license. We accompany them to healing and so they can thrive and reintegrate. And that's what takes a community. We don't give license to them. We don't give license.
I
Like we
just
have
always think.
gamblers. I mean, gamblers, oh my gosh, they ruin your family. But we pro now, you know, I was at a school once, and that's why I don't. We have fashion bingo here, Tom.
Fashion bingo.
Fashion bingo. I call it gambling, girls, giggling, and gossip. The four G's. Anyway, so we have
Have
to be
to
very
say.
careful that we're not giving license to anybody's addictions. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say it just reminds me of the passage in the gospel that the Sadducees and the Pharisees were critical of Jesus for eating with sinners and prostitutes, but he
Yeah.
wasn't eating with the sinners and the prostitutes so that he
They
could
can feel good about their sinning and prostituting.
because he was trying to heal them as the divine physician.
Yeah. Mary Magdalene had seven demons in her. She had to be exorcised. And I imagine that exorcism of three of seven demons, didn't feel good. But when she was freed of that, she loved the most. Who has been forgiven most loves the most.
She's an interesting character from, and we're kind of getting off track here, but that's all right. But she's an interesting character as well because you remember that she was one of the first people to realize that Christ was risen.
Yeah, he visited her. And
What
then what is it,
a
Gino
reward.
Zaffarelli's? What is in Zaffarelli's Jesus of Nazareth? She's the woman caught in adultery. We don't know that. But remember, the woman they caught in adultery, Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm not here to condemn you. And that's different than I'm not going to condemn you, but knock it off.
Go and
Avoid
sin.
this sin. Avoid this sin. Well, we're not here to condemn, but we will help you avoid these inclinations. Don't do this again.
Yeah,
And
celebrate sin.
that we can learn a lot from that thing. Let the first, he among you who is without sin cast the first stone. There may have been someone there, who thought, oh, I'm not. Doesn't mean that she didn't violate the law. But that particular story, I always think sounds like a setup to me. The whole thing was a setup. Where's the guy? Why were these guys watching? What's going on there?
He was probably one of the guys with the rocks.
Yeah, so yeah, the whole thing sounds, it stinks to high heaven. So this whole thing, I could just see Jesus going, you guys, this was a total setup, wasn't it?
Bad idea.
Sometimes I think, they have one of the legends is that he was writing on, the dirt. He says he
Yeah.
wrote. Most people couldn't read, but the scribes and Pharisees could read.
Sure.
He's probably drawing their names and their sins. And what is he doing there? Oh gosh, he's busted us. He busted us.
Well, Father, as typical,
Oh.
we're running out of time, and we still got two more of our sins to get
Yes,
through. So,
yes. We got many
can we
more
pick
sins to
this up?
cover.
Can we pick this up next week?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and folks, if you missed some or part of today's episode, you can always pick it up on our website, armorofgodradio.com. Under the schedule tab has a listing of all of our podcasts, all of our programs here. We will re-air today's program on Sunday at 12:30 again, right here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Father, would you leave us with a blessing, please?
And may Almighty God bless you, Tom, and your listeners. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Folks, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you carving out some time for us. And remember to put on the armor of God.